Welcome, everybody, to Inspiration in 10, where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in memory and le'ilui nishmat, my father, Harav Gershom ben Harav ben Sion, whose yahrzeit was this past Shabbat. Today is also sponsored by Binyamin Gordon in memory of his niece, who passed away last summer, Miriam Bela bas Shlomo Reuven. And Binyamin is asking that we all make an extra effort to light our Shabbat candles on time or early this Friday and add light to the world in memory of Miriam Bela bat Shlomo Reuven. Lahavdil, on a very good note, today's Inspiration in 10 is also dedicated and sponsored by Esther Rubini and Rita Rowling in honor of a very special friend and a matriarch in our community, Shoshana Fiddleman. May she be well and healthy together with her husband Moshe, and have a true Yeshua and Refuah. Candlelighting this week is 8:43, and anybody who wishes to sponsor Inspiration in 10, you know how to get a hold of me, and we'd be very happy to accept any sponsorships. This Shabbat, being the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, has a special name. It's called Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of Vision. Why is it called Shabbat Chazon? On a very simple and practical level, the first word of the Haftorah is Chazon, a vision of Yeshayahu HaNavi, the Yeshayah the prophet. When one reads the Haftorah, we see that Yeshayah expounds on what horrible and tragic destruction will befall the Jews with the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jewish people from Eretz Yisrael because they're rebellious to God. For the most part, it's not a pleasant read. That's an understatement. The Haftorah's opening words introduces Yeshayah and says, Chazon, he laments about the sinfulness and rebelliousness of the Jewish people and their consequent punishments. And he rebukes them for their insincere confessions when bringing sacrifices, because God desires ethical behavior and repentance. And in his final lament, the prophet grieves over the corrupt state of Yerushalayim, and he envisions a time of future restoration. Some even read this Haftorah with the tune of Eicha, Lamentations. But why is this Shabbos called Shabbos Chazon? Do we always give Shabbos a name after the Haftorah? In that case, last week should be called Shabbos Shimu, or another week should be called Shabbat Divrei, etc. We don't usually call the Shabbat after the Haftorah. There are very few. Next one is called Shabbat Nachamu after next week's Haftorah, but why specifically is this one called Shabbat Chazon? Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, who lived from 1740 to 1809, gave a beautiful sermon which was recorded by hand and handed down to us, in which he says that the fact that it's called Shabbat Chazon teaches us a further significance of this term, because everybody is shown a distant and glorious vision of the future temple. And even though most people don't claim to actually see this vision, it's nevertheless felt by the more sublime conscious levels of each person's soul, which subsequently influence the conscious mind. If you remember, those of you who joined us when Rachel Noam was here, she said that the soul has eyes. And that helped me to actually understand this vision that we talk about each year. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak explained this vision with a mashal, a parable. He talks about a father who had a very valuable suit made for his son. But the son was a little boy and he was irresponsible. And he went to play in the sand or in the mud. And before you knew it, the garment was ripped into pieces. So the father had a second garment made for his son. But again, he was still a child, and he ripped it, he dirtied it. By the time the parents saw him at the end of shul, it looked like a shanda. The mother said, just take off the suit. It's an embarrassment. I don't want you to wear this. The next time, when the father prepared the third garment, he didn't give it to his son to wear. He said, you know what? When it becomes a mensch, he'll get this suit. I will show it to him from time to time, and I'll tell him that, look, when you start behaving yourself, you'll get this garment to wear. And the same thing is with the vision that we experience on Shabbat Chazon. It's intended to arouse a desire for the third temple. We had one temple, and it got destroyed due to our sins. We had a second temple, which got destroyed. And inevitably, when we're inspired to be better, to do the right thing, to improve on a personal level and as a nation, God willing, we will have the third Beit HaMikdash. Although the rest of the prophecy after the words Chazon is mostly filled with doom and gloom, the point of the prophecy, which was said at a time that the Jews still had a time to repent, was to see the destruction and the devastation as one who is in a very dark tunnel, but he knows there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's tight. As these 3 weeks are called, the Bein HaMitzarim, Meitzar is tight, the tightness. In fact, our throat, our neck is called the Meitzar for that reason. It's a tight place. But as in the tightness of in the birth canal, it's in order to get to a better place. As we spoke yesterday, for those who were at the class, the time of extreme pain, when it seems like a parent is ignoring the child, that's when the parent is truly focused on teaching the child and doing what's best for them. When a parent cannot be bothered to educate the child, even though sometimes it's very painful, that's not love. He can't be bothered. It's too much. It's too hard. When we're in pain because God is, so to speak, ignoring us, letting certain things happen to us, it's not that he doesn't care. It's because he is so focused that he needs us to go through this. Yeshaya's prophecy of all the destruction, the hardship, the struggle due to our own rebelliousness is in order so that we should be inspired to be better and to add more light to the world. And in fact, in this Haftorah, he gives us the tools. It says there in the Pasuk, Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha b'tzdaka, with true righteousness, true kindness, love for our fellow man, real tzedakah, even in the midst of all this admonishment, Hashem is saying, you can do it. L'chu v'nivchecha, let's talk. And right in the middle of all these prophecies of doom and gloom, he says, it's possible to switch your sins from crimson red to white as snow. What Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is saying, you should understand that the rule is the fact that God destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and we're in galut, the spiritual and physical dispersion, and we're unable to function properly, it's ultimately good for the Jews because certainly God will have mercy and compassion on us. And he'll build a Beit HaMikdash that will be even more glorious and more powerful. By Jewish law, many of you know, you're not allowed to knock down the walls of a synagogue unless you're building a nicer one. We're waiting here to knock down some walls in order to be able to build a nicer, a better shul. So if you go by and you see a shul and you see someone knocking down the walls, you say, hey, what are you doing? How can you do this? How can you destroy a shul? It's because you only have tunnel vision. You don't realize what's happening next. And there have been meetings and meetings and meetings, and soon there's going to be a much nicer shul. It's like I often give that example of the person from the little village who doesn't know what goes on in an operating room, and he comes and he looks over the operating theater and he sees that these masked men are cutting off limbs. And he says, what are you doing? But he doesn't realize that they're actually not just cutting, they're saving and they're going to be put on a prosthesis and they're going to make it better for this person. And so we know if God does all the mitzvot, just like he gave us the Torah and he gave us the mitzvah that we're not allowed to knock down walls of a temple, so too, if he's destroying the Beit HaMikdash, which he did twice, it can't be that he's just going to bring back the same old building. It must be that the future is going to be even more glorious than ever before. So what Yeshaya is doing in this Haftorah, in this message of what might seem to others as doom and gloom, his words should resonate with us to inspire us to change, to lift ourselves up. And his message is an empowering message. It's a light-filled message. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is saying, this Shabbat, don't look at it as a Shabbat of doom and gloom. It's supposed to be inspiring us to be the people we can be, to see the better future, to look out and to see that distant light. It's like this suit is waving in front of us. Why? Why the suit? Why is this suit? Why does he use such a parable of a suit? Why doesn't he say a building? You know, we see a building in front of us. It's going to be another nicer, bigger building, like the song that the kids sing about way up high in the sky. There's a building still unfinished. Why doesn't God just, you know, show us a building? Why does he say a suit? There's something about a suit. A building is something, it fits and encompasses all sorts of people, everyone together. One size fits all. Whereas a suit is unique for the person. A suit fits us, a garment fits us on the arm specifically the way it fits us, on the torso the way the torso, we're supposed to fit the torso, the pants fit, supposed to fit, clothes on the waist, not too tight, not too baggy. Every single part of the clothing has a unique fit to us, for us. Not like a building, which is like a one large, all-encompassing thing. What Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is trying to tell us, that don't think in the time of Mashiach it's going to be a one-size-fits-all. You will still be, that light won't take you away. The world will be light-filled, but it will be customized to you. And so we have to develop ourselves with our own unique talents, with our own unique mission. We just have to uplift it. We have to develop our own potential, that every part of us has our unique relationship with God. Now, our soul sees it. And as we said, the soul has eyes. We all receive this message. The question is, you know, with the emails, how sometimes we choose to open some emails and leave others. Or even when you open an email and it has an attachment, you can just open it or you can download the attachment. So our soul receives the email. We have to open it. We have to click download. We have to use it. We have to get inspired. And that's what this Shabbos is about. This Shabbos should not only be a Shabbos of a vision, but it should actually be a fulfillment of a prophecy. And let's begin even before we read the Haftarah to make this a special Shabbat, to light our candles on time, Le'iloi Nishmat Miriam Bela Bat Shlomo Reuven, and to celebrate this Shabbos, which actually on the calendar is Tisha B'Av. It's the 9th of Av. But it remains a true Shabbat. Let's show God that we already envision a world of Kulo Shabbat, a world that is perfection, that is fully Shabbat, and there's no need for a day of mourning, because God will bring us the Mashiach before the fast day, so that we can truly live in a light-filled world. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. I'm sorry for the delay. And let's remember, Shabbat begins here in South Surrey at 8:43. God willing, may we merit to see Mashiach before this Shabbat.